Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association, coming to you today from Rio de Janeiro and the SCCE Basic Compliance and Ethics Academy here. And apologize for in advance for any annoying background noises. I'm joined today by Odell Guyton. Anyone who's been around SCCE knows Odell is one of the co-founders of the association, and he's also a managing director at Klink & Company. Today we're going to be talking about delivering bad news to management. Odell, first of all, thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Oh, I'm happy to be here.
So, no one likes breaking bad news to management, but in compliance, it's just a part of the job. What's the best way to frame what the issue is that you've discovered?
Well, one of the best ways to do it is to make sure that you have these types of protocols in place beforehand. And that's a negotiation between you, management, and the board. And it's one that is always done in a proactive manner rather than a reactive manner.
So in terms of, explain what do you mean by, in this context, proactive versus reactive?
Well, in terms of setting up a protocol, you want to sit down with management and discuss the types of things that they would like to hear about or should hear about should it come to your ear, and so that they have an opportunity to weigh in on it as well as to prepare a response. So what you want to do is you want to sit down with your management team, whether it's the CEO, CFO, or chairman of the audit committee, and say, well, what types of things do you want to know about as they come in? If it involves, let's say, an allegation against the CEO or the CFO or some other member of management, what is the protocol for me to communicate that to you? And the other thing is to always have the opportunity for, particularly if it's the board, to have them know that they also could do their own independent review of the matter. And if they choose to do so, that's fine. But what you would prefer is that you let management handle it first and we would keep the board informed.
So bottom line is make sure you know how you're going to handle the issues before the issues start flowing in. So what does management need to know?
Well, they need to know about things that have a direct impact to their role. So for example, if it's a significant fraud, if it's a criminal type investigation that needs to happen, or if it's some allegation against top management or senior management or middle management that has a direct impact on the reputational risk of the company or the economic or financial risk of the company.
Okay. So basically making sure that you're not bogging them down with a lot of low-level, smaller, easily resolvable issues.
Well, yes, and that's one way of putting it, but it's making sure that they know what they need to know that impacts their ability to either relate it back to the public or back to the shareholders or back to the board.
Okay. So what is tempting to share with them but really ends up being a distraction or counterproductive?
Well, if investigations that kind of are sexy or juicy, where it's just one of salacious intrigue rather than real meaningful matters that impact their role, right? So they always want to know, well, you know, you mean tell me there's a sexual allegation against someone in HR? Well, that might be important, but really you don't want to get bogged down into those types of details with them. You really want them to understand and to appreciate the significant matters that arise in investigations rather than those that impact their prominent interest. It shouldn't be a police blotter type escalation or review of matters for the board.
It's good to hear management is like the rest of the company.
Exactly.
Because I know in discussing investigations, one of the things that keeps coming up is, yes, everyone wants the details on all the sort of juicy ones.
Yeah.
Now, let's say there is a real incident. You've told management that there's something going on. Investigations can go on a very long time. How often should management be updated on the status of the subsequent investigation?
Well, again, that's something that you negotiate with management. And it's good to have an investigation framework or protocol in place beforehand. So, for example, there ought to be a set timetable between the time that you actually receive an allegation, the time that you notify management, the time that you set up an investigation plan, a review, and then an ongoing update of those investigations. That all should be done ahead of time. So a good example would be within, within 24 hours, you will have a notification, if it's appropriate, to the board or to management, but based on your protocol. Within another 24 hours, you will have an investigation work plan, which is sketched out. It doesn't have to be concrete, but at least give them some idea as to how you're going to initiate the investigation, what resources may be needed, the length of time you think it will take in order to complete the investigation, who will be your initial interviews, and so on and so forth, so that they can prepare any kind of backlash that comes from it in terms of people not wanting to be interviewed or if there are other significant legal issues that have to happen. And you have that planned in advance by protocol. And then, of course, the most important piece of it is once the investigation is concluded, what is the recommendation? Who is it that's supposed to carry out the recommendation? Who's accountable for enforcing the recommendation? And so on and so forth.
But as you're going through the investigation, let's say, for example, it's a bribery allegation.
Yes.
Those typically can take 6 months, a year, or even more. As you're going through that, is it worth updating them monthly if a significant discovery is made, or is it better to sort of say, look, you're just going to have to wait until we know, because you don't want to end up with, you know, a few red herrings that something suddenly looks horrible but actually isn't, and then having to go back? What's the best way?
All of those are possible depending on the facts that you uncover.
Right.
So like I said, the best thing to do is to kind of work out ahead of time what the update plan will be. If you have to modify that, then again, you work that out ahead of time.
Okay.
But each investigation will be different. And as you say, some investigations will take a lot longer than others to develop. The one thing as a compliance officer you realize is, unlike a prosecutor that has power of process, you really don't.
Mm-hmm.
So you're basically trying to get information by whatever means, legal means you can. And you may be restricted by contract arrangements or other kinds of HR protocols or
privacy rules
and so on and so forth.
Okay. So now let's move on. The investigation's done.
Yes.
You've got to, it's time to report what you found in all the juicy, gory details. What's the best way to brief management on what you found?
Well, I would take two steps. Number one, it's not just what you have found, but you also need to go to management with a recommended action plan to remediate the problem. So it's a two-step process, not just what you found, but this is how we propose, or how the group of us propose
to handle it,
to fix it so it doesn't happen in the future. And that's what's really important in terms of demonstrating not only the quality of the investigation, not only its impact, but the effectiveness of the investigation to a regulator, because they're more interested not in how good of an investigation you did, but how can you prove to us, skeptical regulator, that the information, that the thing that we're investigating now has stopped.
Right.
And so that's the piece which becomes more
important. And then it won't happen again.
Exactly. What are your measures to keep it from happening again? What have you found? What have you corrected? Who was involved? Are they still in the company? What has been the discipline to show that you and the company take the process investigation and the actual investigation seriously?
One of the questions that comes up is, who decides the discipline once you found this issue? Is that something compliance should do? Many I've heard argue, no, that's up for the business unit to deal with.
Right. Compliance should offer some type of recommendation on a range of different types of possible punishments, but should not be the group that actually enforces recommendation of discipline or establishes what that discipline is. It should be something that's done with management, where management takes the accountability and responsibility for implementing the discipline.
Well, Odell, thank you for taking the time to give us the good news on delivering bad news. And thanks all of you for listening today. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.